Down to business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland. We understand business. Choose the bank that's here to help you rise to today's business challenges and tomorrow's.
Now, Hal Gregerson is an author and senior lecturer in leadership and innovation at MIT's Sloan School of Management. He explains how asking the right questions builds leadership, innovation, and drives purposeful change. He joins me now on News Talk. Good morning to you, Hal.
Good morning, Bobby. Delighted to be with you.
You too, Hal. Great to meet you. And firstly, I want to ask you a question because I know questions are very big in your world. How can questions make the world a better place? That's my first question to you.
The moment we stop asking questions is the moment we stop moving forward. It's that simple. Answers work when the world is stable, when what we're doing is right, and nothing changes. But if the world changes, by definition, we have to do something differently. And in that situation, there are no answers sitting there, Bobby. It's like, okay, I've got to ask a different question. And that new question will open up a pathway to the better answer given an uncertain terrain that I'm now operating in.
Okay. So if I'm a leader in a particular business, what type of questions should I be asking my senior management, my employees? Give me just a sense of the type of questioning that you're alluding to here.
It's very straightforward. So the folks that I've interviewed, these are 200 of the world's best leaders, including some in Ireland over time. It's the following. It's like, okay, how do you ask that better question? And they often start in a very descriptive fashion, which is, what in the world is going on right now? There are three simple questions. You know them, Bobby. Everyone listening on this knows them. What is working? What's not working? And why?
Right.
That's the starting point. They're super simple to say. But to get an honest, fearless response to that, that's the challenge. And once we get that foundation of what is, then we can start asking questions about, well, how might we do it differently? Or why not that? Or these questions that what if sort of questions that can take us to a different place.
Right. But
either kind of question, that's the generic fundamental form. Either kind of question is much more likely to deliver better answers by leaders who are not stuck within their office space.
Right.
Now, that's funny to say in this middle of our COVID 2020 and 2021, but the spirit of it is so many leaders are relying on secondary data, information from somebody else's information, as opposed to primary data with the customer, with the people in the other department, with, you know, fill in the blank. It's getting up, getting out, getting into the world, getting surprised, getting uncomfortable, being a good listener, reflectively quiet. If I do that repetitively over and over, week after week, even day after day, I build trust so that when I walk into your world, Bobby, at the radio station, it's like, and I'm asking you what's working, what's not, and why, or more fundamentally, what's your biggest challenge right now? You trust me enough to start having a conversation. And it's questions that create meaningful, fearless conversations that lead to answers that, in fact, are the questions.
Okay.
Questions that are the answers.
You talk, Hal, about the question burst. And if I interpret this correctly, it's problem solving, it's enhancing creativity, and it's like, there's four more habits of inquiry which will effectively redesign company culture. Have I got that right?
You do. Yeah, you got it. So the question burst is very simple. Bobby, or anyone listening out there, it's like, okay, what's my biggest challenge today? It might be getting my kids to wherever they need to go. I don't care what it is, work, non-work. What's my biggest challenge? Take an emotional temperature check. How do I feel about that challenge? And the fact that I'm stuck means I'm probably in a negative emotional space. That takes about 10 seconds. Then set a timer, even if it's just yourself, for 2 to 4 minutes. and discipline your brain to not answer any questions, to not explain in your head why you're asking the question. So no preambles, no answers. Try to generate as many questions only as you possibly can in 2 to 4 minutes. If you follow those rules, no answers, no explanations, even in your own head, you'll get about 5 questions per minute. That's what the data would tell us. And if you do that yourself or with 2 or 3 other people, 85% of the time, you'll move to a more positive emotional space, you will reframe the challenge, and you will have at least one new idea to move it forward. It sounds unbelievable, Bobby. I know it sounds unbelievable, but I've got data from thousands of leaders around the world that say that 85% rate is really what it is.
Right. Let me ask you about some of those leaders, Hal. You've interviewed Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos as well. When you talk about guys like that, what are those guys doing in leadership that we should all be doing?
Well, in this world of disruptive innovation, where technology has launched forward in multiples in the last 12 months, you take someone like Elon Musk, who's either the founder, co-founder, or CEO of a variety of companies in different industries. So he is like a bumblebee moving from flower to flower, from industry to industry every day of the week, from Tesla to SpaceX to Neuralink to the Boring Company. All 4 of those are completely different industries. And everywhere he's going, this is what he told us, the tough thing is figuring out what questions to ask. Once you do that, the rest is easy. Wow. So what I'm trying to say here is, obviously, Elon Musk is smart, but if you shadow and watch his behavior, every day he's putting himself with intentionality into a situation where he is wrong instead of right, uncomfortable instead of comfortable, and he's very reflectively quiet about what he's hearing. And if we do that, we can accomplish similar things as to like what Elon does. It's not magic. It's not a black box. Right. It's putting ourselves in those kinds of situations over and over. And that's how he's over at the SpaceX area learning about a particular new material. And then he's over in the Tesla area trying to figure out a better material for the wheels of the cars, and 2 plus 2, and he's asking questions nobody else is asking, and surprise, they're going down a new path.
Wow. And when you talk about Amazon and Bezos, I'm told that his thought process is very much to keep the business as a startup. That's why until very recently, he was still the CEO. So he wants to be close to all the action. He wants to be lean. He wants to do decisions really quickly. There's a lot of learnings there, is there not?
Oh, absolutely. And the starting point is, if you were to type into your browser relentless.com, it would take you to amazon.com. Because Jeff Bezos' grandpa and grandmother taught him when he was growing up during the summers that no matter what challenge you are facing on this farm in Texas, Jeff, if you just work it and work it and work it, you will figure out a way. And so Jeff grew up with this self-definition of, I'm a relentless problem solver. Thus, when you go to relentless.com, you get to Amazon. Now, he brings that mindset every day to everything he's doing, and he starts with the customer. It's that customer focus, customer orientation. And we know those words, Bobby, but he lives them. That is why he shows up. And then with that customer orientation, it's this spirit of don't trust proxy data, which seems so counterintuitive for a company that relies heavily on deep learning, machine learning, artificial intelligence. He's like, don't trust proxy data. So it's, you've got all that data coming from your artificial intelligence systems. That's important information, but combine that with your own primary data, meaning what I just said a few moments ago. Get up, get out, get into the world in one way or another so that you're wrong and uncomfortable and reflectively quiet, and you'll start asking different questions. So Jeff is just the starting point, and we call it at MIT challenge-driven leadership. What's the challenge I care so deeply about? that I can't accomplish or move it forward without other people's help.
Yeah.
And too many leaders show up without their challenges either selected or clear to the people around them. And as a result, instead of looking outward with that day one mentality of Amazon with the customer obsession, it's an inward political, how can I get my next career move kind of conversation, which is an utter waste of time.
Yeah. Now, listen, you're coming over to see us, I believe. You're going to be with the Irish Management Institute event, a masterclass, Leading Successful Transitions During Digital. That's happening on May 12th. Can you tell us what you're going to be telling the Irish audience around said subject?
Oh, absolutely. So I've spent my lifetime in terms of work studying the best leaders, first going global, then transforming organizations, then with Clayton Christensen on innovation. And all of those leaders excelled at asking the right questions over the course of the last 25 years. Now we're in the middle of a pandemic-induced major transition where not just companies, but even my university, MIT, we have moved forward digitally in light speed. What would have been maybe literally 10 years happened in 2 months. And many companies are in the same situation where we had this pandemic, we're still in the process of working through it. Digital has become more real than ever before on planet Earth at work. And so here's what I'm going to share with them. It's a model about how do I think and approach myself and others around me to navigate these transitions better. There are three elements to it. It's like, how is my role changing because of digital change going on? The second question is, given my role changing, what specific tasks do I need to learn and how could I learn them better? And this final element of that transition curve is, how am I engaging my emotions? Are they energy giving emotions or energy taking emotions? And I know that sounds soft and fuzzy, and it may not be what you would expect coming from MIT, that latter part. But if we don't attend to the emotional component of a transition, we will make progress on role adjustments and people learning new tasks, but it will go forward and then backward, forward and backward. And as we also attend to that emotional element, we can get all three of those things moving more productively forward. And inquiry, the thing you and I were talking about, Bobby, of questioning every step of the way in that transition, my role changing, the tasks that I'm learning, moving my emotions more into a positive space. Questions are an instrument, a tool to help us stay on the positive edge instead of the negative.
All right. Well, we'll have to leave it there, Hal. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you. You sound like a fascinating character. One final quick question. Mm-hmm. I know you're a keen photographer, and I'm interested in seeing how you bring photography into your work.
Well, it's fun. This is 6 years since I trekked with David Brashears, a mountaineer and cinematographer, to Mount Everest base camp and then ascended the Khumbu Icefall. It was in 2015. Literally, I've been posting some things on Twitter about that journey. And today I was thinking to myself, as I looked at the Hillary suspension bridge at 125 meters off the ground, I thought about transitions are really leaders building bridges from where we are to where we need to go. They don't have to be multi-million dollar bridges. They simply have to be trustable.
Yeah.
And as I was looking at those photographs, it was this stark reminder, our work as leaders now more than ever in transition, build better bridges, clearer bridges, compelling bridges, so people can make that move.
Great. Listen, pleasure to talk to you, Hal, and we look forward to seeing you with the IMI on May 12th and every success with your talk. Thanks again.
Thank you, Bobby. Have a great day.
And Hal's masterclass is supported on May 12th with the IMI by Mason Hayes and Kern.